Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to Off the Beaten Track podcast. I'm your host, Stu Whiffin. Hope you're all doing very, very well today. It's another week, so therefore it is another episode. And today's guest is Ruti. And Ruti was the winner of The Voice 2018 and was introduced to me by my friend and previous guest, Mark Watts, of the White Room Studios, where Ruti frequents. And it was a really interesting one when Mark suggested that Ruti would be good for this. I was like, yeah, great. Really, really up for that. And by quite a long way, Ruti is the youngest person that's been on this podcast. So her perspective and reference points are far, far different from anyone before, which was a really interesting thing to do. It sort of changed the format a little bit of how I had to sort of approach some of the questions. And yeah, she was an absolute joy. And just that fascinating journey of being a 17-year-old singer-songwriter playing indie music on an acoustic guitar to then thinking, all right, I'll do this thing that someone's put me up for, and then within a matter of weeks being super recognisable and you know, performing on the television as being beamed to, you know, millions of people every Saturday evening, and to then go on and win The Voice. I'm not going to say too much more, because it was just a snapshot of something that I really didn't know how it worked. And so I'll try and sort of ask the questions, how these things work and who you work with and the turnaround on this and that. So it was, a completely different style approach to this episode. So, well, just quickly before we get on with the episode, thanks to Mr. 76 for producing this. Thanks to My Name Is Ad for doing the artwork. And thanks to everybody at the Distraction Pieces Network. Thanks to Mark Watts at the White Room Studios for facilitating this episode. And just quickly, another quick thing I should mention is the fact that if you do like this and you want some extra episodes and things like that, then I have a Patreon page. Excuse me. That Patreon page is each week I put another episode on there. And you can support that from as little as 79p a month. And every bit of support is really, really appreciated, because this podcasting lark, which has just come about in the last sort of year and a half, has been something that I've absolutely just fell in love with and am trying to, you know, be able to make a living out of it. So I kind of quit my job to pursue all things pod related. So, any kind of support over on that Patreon will go a hell of a long way and will be much appreciated. Right, charity kind of grovelling bit done. Let's get on with this episode. Please enjoy Off the Beaten Track podcast with the wonderful Ruti. I've got an announcement. Save Our Souls Clothing. www.sosclothing.co.uk. Why am I telling you this? Because they're our official sponsor. Yeah, that's right. Go and check them out, because their clothing is off the scale. You're going to love it. So they've decided they want to be our sponsor, which is amazing. And what I have to do is I have to tell you about why they're amazing. So here's a little bit of blurb. So they've only been going a year, and they're based in Southend-on-Sea, just up the road from me. They put the company together based on a love of tattoos and alternative music, and they've worked with some of the greatest artists around the world to produce these items of clothing that are as unique as you lot. All the designs are printed using biodegradable, sustainable and water-based inks. In addition to that, they only print on garments made by members of Fair Wear Foundation. I mean, come on, great clothing and a conscience. Since going live in April last year, they've seen their audience grow massively and are now selling orders all across the world. And they were recognised by Cosmopolitan magazine as one of the best sustainable clothing brands alongside names such as Stella McCartney. I mean, that's quite a first year, right? So go and check them out, because they've put a lot of love into supporting this podcast and I couldn't be happier. What else they've done is they've given you 15% off. So if you head over to www.sosclothing.co.uk, do a bit of shopping, see what you like, throw it in the basket, and then on the way out, put in the discount code BEAT15, BEAT15, and that'll save you 15% off. Amazing, right? www.sosclothing.co.uk, official sponsors of Off The Beaten Track podcast. Let's get back to that podcast. It's Off The Beaten Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network with me, Stu Whiffin. Hello and welcome to Off The Beaten Track podcast. It's a sunny afternoon. It's a Saturday and we're in the shed type studio. And I'm joined today by, I'm joined by Rooty. Rooty, I'm going to ask you to pronounce your second name because I don't want to offend you by getting it wrong.
That's fine. It's Olajuwogbe.
Say that again.
Olajuwogbe.
I definitely would have got that wrong.
It's just like kind of phonetic.
Olajuwogbe. I tried to, I was practicing it before you come round and I thought, and I was saying to my daughter, I was going, does that sound like I'm saying that right? And she was like, you should just ask her. And I was like, yeah, okay, I'll do that.
Yeah. it's not going to offend me if anyone asks, but usually I go by just Rooty because there's so much confusion and people add extra letters and just make it completely ridiculous. So Rooty is fine.
Excellent. Oh, well, thank you so much for coming round here on your Saturday. So we've never met before.
No.
We have a few mutual friends. Previous guest Mark Watts has been helping you out with bits and pieces and in his studio.
Yeah, a lot. He's been helping me out a lot.
Yeah, he's a good lad, he is. And my friend Kaelin is your guitarist.
Yes, he is.
Okay, well, we'll talk about the voice at some point, obviously, because it's obviously played a very big part in recent years for you. And But we will get on to that. But so what I should say first as well is you're definitely the youngest person I've ever had on this podcast. So are you 19 now?
I'm 19, yeah.
Yeah, definitely the youngest. So some of these things are going to be quite interesting. Because it's like when I ask people about like school and stuff like that, they're like, oh, God, I don't know if I can remember. And it's like it's just a couple of years ago for you. So. All right. Well, look, really, I'm going to ask you first to tell me the song that you regard as having the greatest ever intro.
Okay, this was so difficult, but I went with a song called Heaven Must Be Missing an Angel.
Yeah.
Because every time I hear the start of it, I'm just like, I just get so happy.
How's the start?
It starts with like a drum. It's like, I don't know how to sing it, but it goes dun, 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 dun.
Of course it does. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that it's like the first song I ever remember hearing. Like,
oh, really?
So I was like probably about 2 in the car, and it was on Heart or Magic or something like that. And then, like, I guess I didn't hear it for a while. And then we had this CD that probably came in like a newspaper, you know, and it just has like a compilation of stuff. And I put it on and I played that song, and then I just kept playing that song because it's just...
Did you remember it from...
I remembered it. I was like, I've heard this song before, yeah. And I knew, like, the heaven, obviously. Yeah. Yeah.
It's that bit at the end, eh? It's that heaven. Yeah. It's the best bit.
I get chills thinking about that song because it just makes me so happy. I don't know why. But when I was trying to make this list and of, like, the best intros, and my sister was like, say Sir Duke.
Oh, Sir Duke. Like, why has no one ever said that?
I thought everyone would have said it. So I was like, no, I'm not going to put that because everyone has definitely said Sir Duke. But it is, like, when you hear the first, like, blast, it's this is a, like, great song.
Yeah, that's a great shout, mate. So is there any others?
An album by Kendrick Lamar called To Pimp a Butterfly.
Mm-hmm.
And like almost every song on that album has like an amazing intro.
Yeah.
The start track is, I don't know, I can't really sing it because there's a few words in it that I probably shouldn't say. but it starts with this like, I don't know what song, it's obviously sampled from something. And then like, this guy starts talking, it's like really kind of, oh, I don't know what the word is, but like trippy,
yeah,
if you will. And it's just really cool. And then there's another song called For Sale. It's like an interlude in the middle, but it's like the longest interlude ever. And I don't know. There's something about the start. And then the intro is brought back later in the song. And it's just so perfect.
So... I'm going to fast forward a little bit and go sort of post The Voice, which we will obviously go back to and discuss. But so you're now writing music with a band?
Yes. Well, I'm writing music with a lot of writers, and then the band are kind of just playing gigs with me.
Got you. Right. Well, we'll go into that then. Mm. But all I want to just sort of touch on there was when you're working with songwriters and stuff like that, how much consideration is there on that intro? And you're a good person to ask because you're very much, obviously you're very young, so you're of a generation probably different from a lot of people that I've spoke to, like much older people that have been in bands throughout the 90s and the 2000s, that the way that people sort of ingest music was very different then. It wasn't that culture of Shazamming and only buying the one track off of iTunes rather than the album, things like that. So do you consider that when you're writing, like holding them and getting them quick?
Well, I guess we're writing for like the mainstream kind of radio play, and at the moment they do really want you to like cut down the intro, which is fair. Like you on radio, like because we can get things so quickly now, they want to catch people within that little time frame. And so all of the songs that I've got on an EP that's coming out soon, they do kind of start straight away, but I have ideas for like an extended version, the album version, and like little interludes that kind of go into the track. So I have been thinking about that, but I know that when I'm writing them, it's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's just we try and cut it short.
But you can also see within yourself that reworking of maybe drawing it out to more of a concept style.
That's
growing up listening to Stevie Wonder and artists like that, where you've got, and I guess Kendrick as well does lots of like kind of weird stuff like that as well. Mm. So, all right, wicked. Track two, Rooty.
Yes.
The first song you remember hearing that had an emotional impact on you.
Yeah, it is If You're Not the One by Daniel Bedingfield.
Right.
Because, again, that was, like, one of the first songs I remember hearing. And I don't know, at, like, age 3, somehow his pain really connected with me. And I was, like, looking out the window in the car, pretending to be in a movie at like so young. But it was the first album that I'd ever heard as well.
Yeah.
And the first like kind of pop album that we'd ever bought. but yeah, that song, and there's an acoustic version at the end that is like so, I think it's really beautiful. And his voice was amazing. So it just somehow connected with me
What happened to him?
I don't know, but I know.
Annie's sister.
Yeah, they both got loads of albums from kind of that just people haven't really heard of, I guess. I haven't listened to them, to be fair.
Yeah.
But I got curious one day and like looked up Daniel Bedingfield, and he's got like two albums post... I can't remember what it's called.
I can't remember.
Got to Get Through This.
That's it, yeah, of course it was, yeah.
Yeah, and it's really weird, yeah.
So hearing that, you said that you heard the acoustic version. Mm. Obviously listening to things like Stevie and Tavares and things like that, yeah, that you've mentioned, like to hear something that's far more stripped down than acoustic, yeah, did that resonate?
Yeah, it was, I don't know, it's just the way that it was so simple.
Yeah.
And the guitar playing was like really beautiful and simple, and his voice just kind of cut through that. I don't really know what it was, because I was like 3 years old.
Yeah.
But it just... I probably cried listening to it, but
really,
yeah, just because it was, I didn't understand what he was saying probably either. But
yeah.
There's that whole album just kind of, I don't know, it has a close like place in my heart.
Oh, fantastic! So, where was you born, Rui?
I was born in Basildon.
Yeah.
Yeah, just in Essex.
And so you live in Basildon?
I live in Stamford.
Okay, home of Scroobius Pip.
Yeah, and I mean, I've moved from like Stamford to Coringham. So
yeah.
Basically, I've lived there my whole life.
Yeah.
My mum has lived in Stamford, not her whole life, but she grew up in Stamford.
Yeah.
And then she like went to uni and stuff, and she had the opportunity to go to the Gambia to do, because she's a midwife.
Okay.
She did some work in the Gambia, and she met my dad there. And my dad's Nigerian. He was doing work in the Gambia as well. So that's kind of how that happened.
I'm back in Stamford.
Yeah, and then they came back to... My mum didn't want to come back to Stamford, but they ended up, and it's probably... Yeah, it's probably a good decision, actually.
So I always ask guests, like, was there music on at home, like, growing up and stuff like that? Yeah. And was there?
It's kind of weird, because... Not really.
Because I was expecting you to say two very different types of music from, like,
there
obviously
was
what your dad must have grown up listening to.
Well, it's like, again, this isn't a good or a bad thing, but, like, I wasn't really into music when I was little. Mm-hmm. And, like, even going into, like, primary school, I knew a lot of songs. Like, we used to watch MTV when I was younger, and there would be, like, Nelly and Kelly and... Yeah. Black Eyed Peas played all the time, but okay. I never had like an actual album except for the Daniel Bedingfield one until I was like year seven.
So year seven, how old are you then?
11.
11.
Or maybe I think, that's another question that I'll answer in a bit.
Okay.
But I got my first album when I was in year six.
Yeah.
But yeah, my dad really liked ABBA.
Yep.
Because that's what he listened to when he was growing up.
Because
he grew up in the 70s in Nigeria, and they had like they had ABBA, they had like Donna Summer, and what are they called? Cool and the Gang.
Cool.
As well. So I know a lot of their songs.
Yeah.
But that's kind of it.
I Feel Loved by Donna Summer's one of the greatest records ever.
I actually don't know that song.
No way.
But I'll probably listen to it.
Rui, I'm going to play you that when this is finished. Oh, that'll change your life, that one. And, yeah, absolutely. And ABBA, that's as good a pop music as you're ever going to hear, isn't it?
I mean,
the songwriting's different level.
Yeah, I actually really love listening to ABBA.
Yeah.
And I love, like, kind of that era of, like, disco and pop.
Yeah.
I don't know why, I just do. That's why I like the Tavares.
Yeah.
I just love that, because it's the kind of classic disco-y... It's
pure disco.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Wait till you're I Feel Loved by Donna Summer. That's disco personified, mate. Okay, right. Where are we? Track three.
Mm.
The song that reminds you of your time at school.
Okay. There was loads again, and I kind of made a list.
You can throw some in, mate.
So the one that I went with is a song called Two Doors Down by Mystery Jet.
So good.
It is such a good song. And it's a really confusing story about how I listened to it. But basically, I really like George Ezra.
Yeah.
And I was listening to an interview he did when he was like BBC introducing, and he mentioned a band called the Mystery Jets, and because I was like, oh, I love George Ezra, I want to listen to what he's listening to. So I listened to the Mystery Jets, and I was like, wow, oh, that's that's pretty good. I never really listened to indie music before. And this song, I just had it on repeat from year 9 to year 11.
Yeah.
And there were so many other songs that in that kind of time I was kind of catching up on music, if you know what I mean. Because when I was younger, I was a dancer. I didn't really listen to music and I didn't know all of the kind of stuff that I do now.
Yeah.
So I was catching up and...
What sort of stuff?
I listened to the Mystery Jets a lot and I went through different stages of listening to Bring Me the Horizon.
Yeah.
What's a band called Sleeping with Sirens.
Yeah.
That I used to listen to. But then I started to listen to The Hoosiers.
Mm-hmm.
Because my friend loved them and she knew a lot more about music than I did and she just introduced me to them. So many, it was just a lot of bands. There's a band called Milky Chance that I started listening to in about year 9 and it was they're a German band and they're a folk. Oh, I started listening to Mumford and Sons when I was in year 8 and I loved it. And I listened to all of their albums and I bought Babel around the time they came out. So it's just a really random mix and I was just catching up on everything that I'd just not heard.
So, Mystery Jets, Two Doors Down, he's... Again, it's just pure pop, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's so good. It's so catchy. It's quite 80s tinged, I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think it was a single before that with Laura Marling.
Yeah. Young Love.
Young Love. It's so good.
Yeah.
And I think Laura Marling was kind of all tied up with the Mumford and Son that point. And what's coming through here is... lots of acoustic guitars. Mm. So was this kind of when you started thinking about playing a guitar?
I started thinking about playing guitar and I kind of started because I was doing my GCSEs and I chose music over dance, which was a big thing for me. And then I started playing in year 9. I'm still not amazing, but it's helped me understand music more.
Yeah.
And I didn't pick it up quickly, but I understand things more and how chords work, how harmonies work and things like that. So
why did you do that if you had been dancing for so long was it just a kind of newfound interest in music that shows?
Yeah. So I did this the turning point from dance to music was I did this talent show at a holiday camp.
Wicked.
And I sang.
Did you know you could sing?
I knew I could sing in tune.
Right.
But I didn't think that I was a good enough singer to be a singer, know what I mean.
Had your mum and dad or your sister gone, you can sing really well?
No.
Really?
I just didn't. I sang at home and I'd done a lot of musical stuff through dance schools and youth musical stuff. But I just, I remember singing Rolling in the Deep.
Yeah.
A cappella. Because I didn't even know what...
In the talent show.
In the talent show at a park resort or something like that. And I won.
Right.
So I was I like singing. That was fun.
How old was you then?
I was 11, I think.
Right.
Or 10. No, I think I was 11, so it was in the summer of year 6 to year 7. And then, so when I got into year 7, I really enjoyed the music programs that they had. And I was doing dancing as well.
Yeah.
And I did dance and music together up until...
Is this at the place in Stamford? The Performing Arts College?
No, I went to Gable Hall, so...
Right, okay.
Yeah, I didn't go there. But I went to Gable Hall because they had performing arts focused stuff.
Right, really... so it was actively encouraged to be
I was in the show choir, but then I was also in the dance club and then I got involved with the musicals and stuff and then I was trying to figure out whether I was going to take dance or music and I knew a lot about dance, so I was it would be good to learn more about music if I'm going to do this. I still didn't think I was going to be a singer until I think maybe year 10. I just started to sing and play a guitar And I was like trying to write songs because of like composition aspects in GCSE. And I found that I was actually quite good at composing stuff.
Have you still got recordings of that stuff?
Yeah.
Do you listen back?
No. I can't. It's not even that bad. It's just my voice is really high. I tried to sound like people, and which has kind of like shaped the way I sound now, which
but that's a natural thing to do, isn't it? You've got to find your voice, haven't you?
So I kind of tried singing like Adele at the beginning, and then I was like, there was someone that won the X Factor called Rebecca Ferguson, and I was like obsessed with her voice.
Her voice was ridiculous.
It was so good.
She was a Liverpudlian girl, wasn't she?
And I'd never heard anyone sing like that, and I was like, I want to sing like that. So one of the first performances I did was like at the Towngate Theatre. No, not Towngate, the Thameside Theatre.
In Grays.
And I sang Nothing's Real But Love.
Okay.
And I was like so nervous, but it like tried to sing it like her, but obviously it wasn't quite like that.
Yeah.
But that was like a big first performance in front of a big audience.
So how was that, really? Was you nervous? Was you confident? Or like, how do you approach, like, you know, a performance?
I mean, I probably still get the same amount of nerves as that first performance. And I remember the first performance. I've watched the video back, and I was just like playing with these buttons on my dress and like looking down like that, and it was really bad. But I feel more confident. I know how to perform or pretend that I'm confident on stage, but I'm still so nervous. Like even a couple of weeks ago, me and Kaylin, we did a gig at a little restaurant, and I was so nervous because I was performing my original material as well.
All right.
So like, what if people don't like it? What if it's not clever enough for people to, and it's like really simple and people like, and what if I sing it wrong and it's my song and my voice breaks or something like that? I just always overthink everything.
Yeah.
But, and then when I get there and then I'm like halfway through the first song, I'm like, oh no, this is fine. This is what I'm kind of meant to do.
So, are you enjoying it at that point?
I'm enjoying it by that point. And I know that at the end, I'm like, I want to do it again.
Yeah. How are you afterwards? Are you like, do you go back? Are you one of them ones like, oh, I could have done that better?
Yeah.
Are you one of them critical ones?
Yeah, definitely. But also, I've still got that adrenaline. So I'm like shaking after the performance and then, think about everything that I did wrong.
Yeah.
But then later I'm like, no, that was actually pretty good and everyone liked it. And I get like comments and people messaging me saying, you're really cool. And I'm like, that's a nice encouragement.
That's lovely. All right. Well, the first record that you bought, I say that, records are long gone since you were probably even born.
I feel like the people that listen might be a bit annoyed with me because the first thing I bought was actually on iTunes. I didn't even buy that.
Hey, you can't help the generation you're born in, mate.
And it was 21 by Adele.
Yeah.
That was I bought that at the same time as I bought Pink Friday by Nicki Minaj.
Nice.
So, but obviously, 21 was like the big thing. And I listened to it all the time. I would often like, I had a little iPod Touch that I'd bought myself, and I would listen to it in bed, like I was meant to be asleep, but I had my headphones in under the covers and I would listen to that. And I was obsessed with Adele at that point.
Why?
Because she was so good, but also all of her songs were, well, her voice, again, I was like, her voice doesn't sound like anyone else's.
When I said why, that made me sound like why. She's rubbish. She's obviously amazing, she's but what were the things that really sort of drew you to Adele?
Yeah, her voice. The content of the songs, obviously I couldn't really relate to it at 10 years old, but there was still something that it made me feel something. And like, what are the songs? There's actually like quite a mix. Like a lot of the songs are quite emotional and sad, but there was like a few that were really upbeat and it made me feel really great. But then also it just took me on like a roller coaster of emotions. And then also on that, when you downloaded it, it came with a video of like the making of 21.
Right.
And I would watch that all the time. It was just her talking about each track individually, yeah. Showed you little clips of in the studio, and I was just like, wow, I want to do that. I want to write an album, and I want to like sing about things that I experience. Yeah. And I
think one of the wonderful things I imagine on that, I've not seen it, that the video you're talking about, is you hear this incredible voice, and I don't know if it was Poetworth that produced that album, but like the, you know, production's amazing. And then you just expect her to be kind of this super rounded, polished. And then she's like, "Core fucking hell." And she's just like a completely approachable, like, cool person. Yeah.
I remember watching it, and then she would like swear, and I'd be like, "Oh, I wasn't expecting that." I was like 10. So I do remember watching that video all the time.
Yeah,
like just before going to bed, because I was I wanted to hear her voice singing all the time. So I don't know, but it was just a point that I remember.
Have you seen her live?
No, I've still never been able to see her live. I didn't really go to any gigs again when I was younger. The first gig I went to was in 2013, and I was 14, and I went to see the Hoosiers, which I've mentioned before. But yeah,
where was that at Chinnery's?
No, it was O2 Academy Islington.
Right.
So that was the first time, and I went with my friends and my little sister and my mum and my friend's mum, and we were right at the front.
Brilliant.
It was a really good gig as well. And afterwards we got to meet the band as
well. Oh, amazing.
And yeah, I really liked them because they made me feel really happy when I listened to them. And
All right. Well, let's discuss the voice.
Mm.
And so you've started obviously playing the guitar, writing songs, and obviously doing talent shows and you're obviously performing in local theatres and things like that. So why did you choose the voice? Did you choose the voice, or did someone choose it for you? Or did you consider, you know, other talent shows that are out there?
I didn't consider going on a talent show at all. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be brutally honest. I didn't want to go on The Voice particularly. Mm-hmm. It wasn't because, like, oh, I'm too good for The Voice or something like that. I just didn't want to do it at that point. I didn't think I'd get anywhere anyway. So I was like, what's the point? But Mark Watts kind of put me on the show.
Really?
Yeah. He was like, do you want to do it? I was like, I had to think about it for a really long time, but because I kept thinking about it, I was like, I should probably just see what it's like. But I was also like excited because I didn't want to make a...
Did you watch it?
No.
Was you aware of Jordan from our area that was the runner-up maybe 2 years before you?
I wasn't.
Jordan Gray? Like...
No, I did used to like watch the X Factor and Britain's Got Talent, and I watched The Voice in the first season, the whole first season. But after that, I just hadn't seen it the whole way through. So the first time I saw it again the whole way through was the season that I was in, because I was watching it back. And I didn't know what to expect at all. I knew that there was the chair thing and then there was the battles, but then after that I was like, I don't know what's going on.
So talk us through it, really. How's it, like, do you get a letter saying come down and audition, or how does it work?
So I think Mark passed on my details to someone, and then they just call you and say, they called my mum because I wasn't old enough at that point to talk to them myself. So I started the whole process when I was 17.
Mm-hmm.
So me and my mum went to a producer audition. And then after that, there was another producer audition that was at ITV. So that was like really exciting because I got to go to ITV. And then after that, they just called me and were like, you've got a blind audition like next month. And I was like, what? Okay.
Does that mean that's the one where you go that's on the there and see if they turn around?
So I was like, oh, that's cool. Like I really enjoyed, even if I hadn't have got any further than the blind audition, you get to work with a band. So you get to work with a live band the whole way through. And that's so cool. And they're amazing. Like, they're an amazing band. Like, if you see them sometimes, they just know how to play a song somehow. And they all just play together.
They must have the best session musicians at The Voice, mustn't they?
Yeah.
Hello, I've interrupted the podcast again, haven't I? Sorry, it won't take a sec. All I want to say is, the songs that we're talking about in this podcast, if we can't play them, it's just because of the regulations regarding...
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Playing licensed music and such. So if you want to hear the songs, just go over to Spotify and search Off the Beat and Track podcast, and you can listen to all the songs because I've put playlists up for each of these. If you can't find it on there, I'll send links on all the social media accompanying each episode. So you've just got to press that one button and you can go through and you can enjoy all the songs that our guest picks. Anyway, I'll shut up, get back to the podcast. See you on the other side.
And it was just, it was really cool, and like you get vocal coaching and a bit of performance coaching.
All of this before the first one?
Yeah, just so that you're prepared. Because I don't know what I would have done if I didn't have that, actually.
Did you choose your song?
Kind of. Like, there's a lot of discussion with you and them, and they suggest songs, and then you suggest songs. And I just sent, they told me to send in a few songs that I wanted. So I sent in Budapest, and they said, even though that was like, I don't know, I probably sent in like, I don't even remember what else I sent in, but I sent in Budapest, and it was just something that was already on my phone, and I'd been practicing playing it myself. And yeah, and they were like, we just love it. And I was like, wow, okay, sure. It's probably not going to get me anywhere, but I don't really mind.
And so did you say, I want to play, because you played your guitar on the first appearance, didn't you? So did you say, I want to play as well?
Well, they asked me, they were like, do you want to play? You don't have to, but you also can. And I said, yes. And it's not too hard to play. So, yeah. And obviously I didn't play it again, but I didn't mind because I'd not sung without my guitar for years.
Yeah.
And it kind of somehow boosted my confidence. Now I actually often choose not to play guitar because it is a lot to think about because I overthink everything.
Yeah.
I overthink playing the chords and singing at the same time and trying to look at the audience and not close my eyes because I'm so nervous. So there's just so much going on. But yeah, it was a really great experience, actually. I would definitely... I would actually recommend it to anyone that's kind of considering it because it's just, you can't take it too seriously because anything could happen.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's a really good way of like just seeing what some of the industry's like.
Yeah.
And I just went on it to see what it was like, and then I ended up getting loads further than I did. But I was excited every round that I got through.
So... First appearance, Tom Jones turns around.
Yeah, it was just him as well.
So. And so, also, I mean, Tom Jones is Tom Jones. He's, you know, mega star.
Yeah.
But also, how was it for you, because you mentioned growing up watching MTV, watching Black Eyed Peas and that, and think, oh, there's that fella.
Yeah, it's just Will.i.am, that's fine. But
how was that?
It was weird because you kind of have to think about if you have a decision as well, who are you going to choose?
Yeah.
And I always thought that I would go with Will I Am. And I don't know why, because I don't think we're very similar in style at all. So I was glad that I didn't have to have the choice, because I think I would have not necessarily... It's not that I would have gone with the wrong judge, but it wouldn't have turned out the way it did. But
yeah.
Tom was like... I think it was like the perfect pairing.
Yeah.
And
so how does it work? Because I watched The Voice when my mate was on there just to see how she got on, and when Mark told me about you, I've gone and watched all of your performances. So when you go right, okay, so Tom's going to be your what are they called?
Mentor. Coaches.
So what involvement is there on things like that?
Well, he's at all of the rehearsals for on stage. So all of the on stage rehearsals, he's there, and that's it. He's there for most of your rehearsals.
Yeah.
And he's not a professional vocal coach, so he doesn't like say, oh, you need to try opening your mouth in this way or something like that. But he was really there just to like encourage and just give his advice on performing. But there was also a vocal coach that would go through the songs and like go really in depth into the technique that we used as well. But he was very much there in the show, and he still is, so that's really nice.
Yo, you're still tight with him?
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, and his management are really, really helpful as well, so...
It's Tom like, Jones, man. Hang out with Elvis.
Yeah, I know. And he just, sometimes, I've called him up and...
Like you do, call up Tom Jones.
Or he's called me and like he just tells me about, oh, that time when I was just like in Vegas and stuff. And like, it's just, I don't know, it's just so weird. Like, he'll just tell me these stories and I'm just so interested and like...
Yeah.
It's such a weird thing. It's so weird. But then also he wants to know like how I'm doing and stuff, which is so, it's so nice. And
So also, when you're starting to find yourself going through like these rounds to get to the final, are you also noticing that going down the shop to get a pint of milk and things like that, suddenly changing a little bit?
Yeah, definitely.
And social media must suddenly be changing a little bit.
I got like a huge surge of followers, and I guess you see the good, mostly good comments, but you do see the bad comments. And at the time, I mean, I'm still a very nervous person anyway, but like it just, I could see like 100 great comments, but then there'd be one that was like it wasn't really that nasty, to be fair.
Yeah.
It was one that wasn't that great, or like, oh, she shouldn't have even got a turn or something like that. Or she shouldn't have won. The other guy should have won. It just...
How'd you deal with that?
I don't know, really. I just kind of have to brush it off.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing else I can do, really.
That's the best way. There is nothing like, else you can do. If it's there, then... If people can be bothered to write something negative, then they're not the sort of people you should be paying any attention to anyway. Do you know what I mean?
I know that... even after The Voice, I was not... Actually, I did get a few messages like, we voted for you, what are you doing now? Like, you're not doing anything. Look at this guy, he's doing all of the stuff. And it was hard because I couldn't explain to people, you know, I have to write the songs.
Yeah, of course.
If you want to hear my voice again.
Yeah, but I think so many people are unaware of the process of making music.
Yeah.
You know, I think they just presume that you walk off a show like that and then
like
you're given like, there you go, there's a fully formed album, like go and sing it, and then you're going to go on this big world tour and you're going to be in the papers. And it's like, well, if you want to work on writing the music with songwriters and things like that, it takes time.
Yeah.
And obviously you're going to write stuff that you just think, oh, do you know what? I'm not overly keen on that one, so can we try something new? And like, it's not a quick turnaround stuff like that, is it? It's like you're creating something.
Yeah, that's why I kind of wanted to go with an EP instead of an album straight away.
Yeah.
Just so that I was getting material. I was working with new people, finding the people that I liked to work with. And I've had the chance to work with some like amazing writers and stuff. And I had to learn that not every session is going to be really successful.
Yeah.
And that you're not going to meet, not everyone's going to be super nice. So, it's been a huge learning curve for me, because I came out of A-levels and then I was in the studio.
Do you feel like you're coping with it all okay?
I didn't cope with it very well. Not like in an irresponsible way, but like in a completely overwhelmed and it might be a bit deep, but like I would have panic attacks just because I didn't know what was going on.
Because I should say at this point, you won The Voice.
I won The Voice, yeah. So I was like, okay, so I've won The Voice now, so that's cool. And I didn't know what was going to happen now. And then you kind of, the prize is a management contract and a recording contract with Polydor. So that was amazing. But it just, I'd made these like relationships on The Voice with like the producers and stuff. And now I'm just like with new people that I don't know. And I've still...
That's quite an enormous thing to deal with for an 18-year-old person, isn't it?
Yeah, and obviously my parents can only do so much because they don't know everything that's happening. But I did have like the support from Tom and his people and Mark Watts as well. So like it's still very confusing for me, and I still don't really know everything that happens. But I know that I've got people that are really supporting me, and I can just ask them anything. And I'm building those relationships with the label and the management. So it's all like coming together.
Yeah.
But at the beginning, I was just like, I just couldn't fathom anything because...
It's crackers though, isn't it? Like all of a sudden, how long was the process of The Voice?
It was like a year.
Okay, so within a year, all of a sudden, you've gone from playing in some local theatres to you're on the cover of magazines and on the TV and...
Yeah.
Everybody knows who you are. That's strange, right?
It is. And yeah, it's just... And I still... Once I'd finished The Voice, I still had to go back and do my A-level exams, which went okay, by the way. I passed.
So how was that going back to college? Was everyone like...
No.
Oh, did everyone know that you was doing
everyone it? Everyone knew I was doing it, and no one really cared. So it was quite nice because I just didn't have to deal with people like... I mean, because I went to the sixth form at Gable Hall, there was the lower school that I had to sometimes navigate through, which was like try and just, I had to run, put my headphones in and just kind of not get stopped by year seven, which is really sweet, but it's a little bit annoying. But
it would be mad though, wouldn't it? Imagine like at school, one of your mates is a pop star. Yeah. That's crazy, isn't it?
It is. And even to like think that I'm... now on the same label that like Lady Gaga's on and like that the Beatles were on at some point, and it's just I'm like I don't know how it happened, but I'm glad that it happened.
All right, well let's move on to track five, Rudy, and this is the one that when I sent the questions over excuse me, I thought the song that soundtracked your year's clubbing, and I just thought you probably haven't even started. You've just touched the beginnings of it.
Yeah.
So in your current time, I imagine clubbing now because it's kind of what you should be doing. What is the song that he's currently soundtracking or has soundtracked the recent year or so of clubbing?
It's My Number by Foles.
Solid choice.
It's such a good song, and I still don't know all the words, but I know that every time it comes on, I get like, really pumped, and all of my friends, we go crazy. I've only actually ever been to the Pink Toothbrush. I haven't actually been to any other clubs yet, because I'm 19 now, but so I've only had like a year of clubbing.
And you know, I should point out as well that I've never met you before, so I've not met you from you coming to a club or anything like that. It was just when you sent that song, I just thought there can't be many clubs playing that record, and I thought, I wonder if she's gone to the Brush. And and then when we had a quick chat beforehand, and he was like, I heard it at the Pink Toothbrush. So does that kind of more mainstream clubbing not appeal, or does it appeal? Or
I think it just depends. It probably doesn't really appeal, but also, I don't know. I like a kind of more alternative scene. And the Pink Toothbrush is perfect for that. And yeah, I'd like to go to, somewhere that's got, I don't know what I'm actually trying to say at the moment. Yeah. Sorry, but yeah, the mainstream club scene isn't really for me.
Yeah.
But because all of the songs that play at the Toothbrush, they like I know them. And
yeah. So yeah, have you as your sort of music taste obviously over the recent few years since kind of discovering things like Files and things Mystery Jets and stuff like that, has it been very much an alternative kind of genre of stuff that you've immersed yourself in?
Yeah, definitely. And but like more recently, I've been doing like research on like earlier music, like kind of music from the 60s and the
what sort of stuff.
Well, I listen to Stevie Wonder all the time.
Nothing wrong with
now. That. Because I'm like mesmerized by how amazing he is, like yeah. How amazing. That's not what I'm trying to say. Like such an amazing musician,
yeah.
And like Tammy Terrell, I think. Tammy Terrell is another. Like artists that I just like to listen to.
If you get a chance, read about her kind of weird relationship with Marvin Gaye, because it's quite heartbreaking.
Oh, I know. I've listened to all of the. There's like an album with them together, and obviously, Ain't No Mountain High Enough.
I mean, and do you know what? It's some of the little sounds in it. That must have been a big influence for. Tears Dry on Their Own for Amy Winehouse. Oh, yeah. There's so many similarities on that, and like, it's just that is an absolutely wonderful record. That is, Tammy Terrell, what an insane voice.
Yeah, my favourite song is that All I Do Is Think About You.
Yeah.
I could listen to that song on repeat for ages.
And are you,
I know
are you one of them people, Denver, that where you? If you find a new song, do you just think, like, right, and you just repeat?
Yeah, like, not necessarily because I really want to, but I just can't help it. I'm like, and then you hear a part in it, and then you know that part's going to come up, and then it happens, and you're like, yes, that was
so you deconstruct music as you're listening to it as well and try and work out how it's put together.
Yeah, because I feel like I need to now, especially as I'm writing it, so just, like, researching different genres and... Not like researching, but just listening to lots of different genres and the way that people write. And there's so much that I have to learn.
Yeah.
But it's exciting to listen to stuff that, and I also like listening to kind of like 80s, the pop during the 80s. I just love it.
It's the best pop. It's the best pop.
I really love it. And my sister and I will always just put on like, I don't know, I think it's called All Out 80s from Spotify. I just listen to that as well, but also just the kind of sounds that they used. I'd say that some of the EP is a little bit kind of influenced by that.
What sort of stuff?
Well, just like the synths and the just little thing. I don't know how to explain it because I'm not very good at
it. It was the decade of synth pop, you know, it was so many sort of beautiful little synthy playovers that made some of the greatest pop records ever in that generation. But I would say that because it's the generation I grew up in. You like Don Broco, right?
I do like Don Broco,
got to see them the other day, Mark tells me.
Oh my goodness. I first heard Don Broco when I was in year 8, and I heard the song called Hold On, and like I was like, wow, this is cool. I really like it's like a mixture of kind of the alternative rock music that I was starting to listen to. But then there was like a little kind of funky guitar in it. And then when it got to like, I think they started bringing out their newest album, Technology, I started to listen to them again. And I was like, wow, this is different. And like, I don't know. And me and my friend Phoebe were like obsessed with it. And we'd listen to it all the time in our music tech classes during like college. And then I saw them at Reading, and then we bought tickets to go and see them in Manchester. And then it turns out that Mark lived in front of, well, lives near to Matt. And then I got to go and see them again in the same week at Wembley. And then I met them and I was just like, if year 8 Ruth could see me now. Ruthie.
Was you nervous?
Yeah. I was so nervous, but I...
You hung out with Tom Jones, phoned you up, for God's sake. How can you be nervous meeting Don Broco when Tom Jones is ringing you?
I don't know. Yeah, it was just, it's so weird because, I don't know, I was just talking to all these people and they're like, oh yeah, I'm the lead singer's sister. I was like, that didn't happen. But like, there was like their cousins around.
Yeah.
And then Mark was like, oh, she won The Voice, she won The Voice. And they were like,
of course
she
did.
Wow.
Of course she did.
And I was like, oh, please stop. I just yeah, it was. But it was so
brilliant!
Yeah.
All right, so we're gonna keep it local, and for track six, I asked you to pick your favourite song from an artist from your hometown.
Yes, I definitely read it as country.
County.
Of county.
Do you know, you won't be the first one. Like, so many people have like just gone, yeah, that by the Beatles, and I'm like, the Beatles were not from Kent, man, and they're like. And I was like, it's county.
I don't know. So I was like, that's like the whole of British music ever. How am I meant to choose?
Yeah.
But then I used to listen to, or I still kind of listen to Nothing But Thieves.
Yeah.
And they're from Southend. And I thought.
And Rayleigh.
And Rayleigh, yeah, yeah. Mm. But then there was also like Blur and the Prodigy.
And a really awful week for music as well, losing Keith Flint this week. It's really, really terrible.
Yeah, but I went with Amsterdam by Nothing But Thieves.
Have you seen them live?
I have. I've seen them live twice, actually.
Yeah.
I saw them at the Roundhouse and I saw them at Reading again as well. And they were really good. They were really great.
Yeah. They still come in the club every now and again. And it's quite weird because I don't really recognise them. But then, like, they walk in and then all of a sudden you just think, there's quite a lot of fuss going on over there. What's that? And I just generally presume there's some sort of trouble or something. Yeah. And I'm just like, oh, no, Nothing But Thieves has just rocked up.
Yeah.
Like,
I've never seen them, though, so that's cool. But I did see them again at the Village Green Festival.
Oh, in Southend?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That year I performed on the little oak stage at the back. And then, yeah, I just, like, was just walking around and I was like, oh, that's Connor from Nothing But Thieves. Okay, that's fine. It was cool. And they were really great at that as well.
Oh, brilliant. So, gigging in the hometown. You are gigging in your hometown, aren't you?
I am.
Yes. When is it?
It's not actually like a publicised gig.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Right, I'll shut up then. I didn't realise Mark mentioned that there was a gig coming up. Right,
yeah,
I'll keep that world quiet.
It's I'm not promoting it at all. It's just a warm-up gig. So,
right.
Like, I just wanted to perform in front of friends and family.
Yeah.
The band has never performed live together.
Right.
I've only performed with the drummer, Will, and Kaylin, the guitarist. So it's just finding our feet, I guess, before we get, like, thrown into the deep end and have to do, like, a little London launch or something like that. So
do you do the thing, do they do it on the X Factor, like they do the X Factor where last year's winner comes back and plays this year's thing? Oh, you got to do that?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that because the song that is released is going to be released as a single. I don't know, I think by the time that this is out, I would have released it. But yeah, I really like the song, like, I love it. And
can you talk about it? Or
I think so. I mean, it's coming out in like 2 weeks.
Oh, right. This will probably be out by the time this comes out then.
So it's called Racing Cars. And it's very poppy, but like it's great. Like, I think it's great, and I don't usually say that about my own stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm quite proud of it, and it's very synthy and very influenced by the 80s synth pop. But
and was you involved in the writing on that one?
Yes, definitely. I was involved with the writing of all of them.
Yeah.
I definitely wanted to be involved, but I was a bit scared to do it on my own.
Mm-hmm.
So. It's actually the kind of music side of it is based on one of my music tech pieces of coursework.
Oh, really?
So I gave it to the producer when we were there, and we wrote to that. And then he's obviously changed it quite a bit, but there's like some little elements, like the synth that he uses in most of it, and then there's like a little melody.
Yeah.
And little melodies in like vocally as well. And so that's really cool. I hope that my music tech teacher kind of notices that the similarities.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah.
Final track, Rooty.
Yeah.
So this is when you can play DJ and try and turn people onto new music.
Mm.
And so it's track 7, which is a song that many may not know that you would like them to hear.
Okay, I had like three songs in mind, but
we can shout them out.
Yeah, so this the song that I've chosen is called You Don't Have to Worry by Doris and Kelly. And, like, I've tried to research this song, but, like, nothing comes up, which is really weird.
Have you made it up?
No. Surprised, no, I haven't made it up, but it's such a good song. And it's from... The only thing that I could find out about it is that it was released in 1967.
Right.
And it's so good. Like, it's so smooth and, like, it's very soul... It's like some... Doris and Kelly, I guess. A guy and a girl, and it just... I don't remember how I heard it. I think I was probably doing some research on soul for, like, A-levels or something, and then I just found it, and I was like, wow.
Is it on Spotify?
It's on Spotify, and it is on YouTube, and, like, if you type it in, stuff comes up, but it's just, like, released in 1967 by Doris and Kelly. That's all you can get. Yeah. I don't know who Doris and Kelly are.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing else on Spotify by them, and there's nothing else that I can find by them. So it's like some weird... Maybe it's their only release.
Yeah.
But it's... I think it's an amazing song.
Slow, fast?
Slow. And, yeah, it's just... The guitar in it as well, it's not complicated at all. And their voices are amazing together. Yeah, it's just a random song that I found and can't find anything else about it.
People can go and check that out now then. And I will put that, obviously, I'll put a Spotify playlist together to accompany this. So so people can go and, go and listen to Doris and Kelly and maybe see if they can find out who they are.
The other songs that I thought of, there's a song that I have in my, like, set list called Remember the Rain by a band called 21st Century. And it came out in 1970, and I heard a cover of it and I was like, wow, that it's an amazing song, but it's like kind of Jackson 5 vibes, but slow. Again, it's quite soulful, and I don't know how to explain it, but
has it got that kind of sort of Motown sweetness?
Yeah And it's like a young boy, I think he's probably about 10, that sings it, and there's like bits of talking in it and kind of weird stuff about it, but it's like such a good song. And the cover that I heard first is by a girl called Kaja Bonet, who has also like the sweetest voice ever, and her version is amazing. So we do a version with the band, which I really like singing as well. And then the other song that I was thinking of is by a guy called Mac Ayres, and it's called Get to You Again. He's like quite... I don't know if people kind of listen to or follow pickup jazz and like the pickup page on Instagram. It's like a lot of jazz musicians and up-and-coming musicians, but he's on that all the time, and the song Get to You Again is amazing. So
fantastic. Right, so let's break it down before we finish. So you're going to be on The Voice final?
Yes, I am.
Singing the new single?
Yes.
There's a gig going on, but we can't talk about that.
No.
Because no one's invited. will there be more shows?
Hopefully. I really hope so, because I'm really looking forward to performing.
Excellent. So if people do want to find out about where they can see you perform, where can they find you?
Well, they could follow me on Instagram and Twitter, and I also have a Facebook page, and the handle is Rooty Music.
Simples.
Yep.
Right, we'll tag you in all of that. And so follow Rooty, and message her. Tell her what you think of her song choices. Rooty, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And and good luck with it all.
Thank you.
Thanks, mate. There you go. That was the wonderful Rooty on this week's episode of Off the Beaten Track podcast. She was an absolute pleasure to chat to. Like I said at the beginning, it was a completely different sort of episode. And it was, it sort of kept me on my toes, having to kind of constantly remember that this young person in front of me is like 19 years of age. And a lot of the reference points that my previous guests have always kind of anchored to have no bearing or influence on someone that's probably half their age. So it was a real joy to chat to someone of a completely different age bracket with completely different sort of influences and reference points. It's great. Thank you a lot, ever so much, for listening. Please go on iTunes and give us a subscribe or a like, a love, a listen, and all the retweets and the likes and shares on the socials. He's great. And I think that's it. Go and check out the Patreon page. That's much appreciated. Also, I've got T-shirts for sale and really cool art prints from the very talented artist Paul McDonald. Everything is over at www.offthebeatandtrackpodcast.com. Thank you ever so much. I'll see you next week. Love ya. Bye. Oh, yeah. Sorry. I've butted in yet again. I just want to quickly tell you about this magazine. It's called Pod Bible. Now, Pod Bible is the new essential guide to podcasts. It's put together alongside Spotify and Acast, and it's a one-stop shop to tell you all about the podcasts you maybe know about, but definitely about a load of the podcasts that you probably don't know about that we think you should know about. I mean, in the first edition, there's interviews with Adam Buxton, interviews with Craig Parkinson, there's features on Jade Adams, and there's just an abundance of information about so many exciting podcasts that are out there. Also, Spotify have given us these amazing little codes. So if you do get a print copy, you can just turn on your Spotify on your phone, scan the little code, and it just automatically opens up the podcast on your listening device. How good's that? If you haven't managed to get a print copy, then just go over to www.podbiblemag.com and read it online, because the digital version is all over there and it's all free. So every other month there'll be a new edition out. So go and have a look and support us on the social medias as well. PodBibleMag.com.
It's Off the Beaten Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. With me, Stu Whiffin.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.